Episode 188 von Winter Day Hockey O'Clock. Mitch O'Keefe, Head Coach Nürnberg Ice Tigers. What constitutes success for you with the Nürnberg Hockey Club? What constitutes success for the organization?
I think to get success is you need to get in playoffs. I think when you're in the dance, it means you did something right. That's the goal here for us, to get in that dance and make a splash too, just not get there. So it doesn't matter how you get in, you got to get in. And that's everybody's goal, right? So for us, that's it. We want to get in the playoffs. We want to see what we can do on that stage. And it's been fun to try and create that start here. And I think we're going in the right way.
Win today, hockey. Oh, wow. We've reached the first international break of the hockey season, but as usual, the hockey business doesn't really pause, and it makes me incredibly happy that he's jumped onto the show. Listeners over here in Austria know him very well. He's coached Innsbruck to tremendous heights the past couple of years. He's moved on to a bigger league, a better league, but he's still within our reach. He's, of course, Nürnberg Ice Tigers head coach Mitch O'Keefe. And Coach O'Keefe, really happy that you made some time during the break to be on Winter Day Hockey O'Clock. Thanks for doing this.
It's my pleasure. It's always great to catch up with you and see how you're doing.
Coach, how does it sound when I tell you that you're the head coach of the Nürnberg Ice Tigers in the German Hockey League? Has that kind of already settled in, or is there still something kind of a new ring to it?
Definitely still has a ring to it for me. It's been a place and a situation I've been trying to strive for since I started. And some days I pinch myself, but it's the job, and it's been a great experience so far. I've been learning something new every day, but it's been awesome so far.
It's an interesting fact that basically a year ago I sat in the very office that you're sitting in right now doing an interview with our good friend and a good friend of the show, Tom Rowe. Happened right around the international break too. Was lucky enough to catch a game with the Nürnberg Ice Tigers. Unlucky enough, they lost big against the Eisbären Berlin, but the rink is great, the surrounding is great, the fans are great. Not to get too far ahead of ourselves, but what has been your impression of the organization the first couple of months you've been there?
Top notch, first class all the way. Like you said, the fans, the building, it's been sensational. It's been a lot of fun in front of this crowd. The rink is really nice. The weight room, the locker room, the staff upstairs, they've been really welcoming to me and my family, which has made the transition a hard transition, an easier transition. And no, I have zero complaints, and it's nice that you can just focus on hockey and just focus on trying to win games.
I've already mentioned it in the intro. We're recording this conversation during the first IIHF international break. What's kind of on the agenda for you and the team during that break?
For me personally, it's been an emotional first couple of months with moving, new challenge, new everything, new home, new schools for the kids, new neighborhood. So it's nice now to kind of just unplug a little bit for a few days and try and just catch up with everything. The hockey's been intense. There's been a lot of ups and downs emotionally within the room already, with winning a few streaks and losing a big streak and then back winning again. So it's nice to just kind of recharge right now and then get those batteries full. And when we get back on the ice, you're ready to go.
I was really hesitant in terms of how to structure this conversation, because there's so many topics I wanted to talk to you about. You've already touched on a couple of them. It's transitioning to a new life, to a new city, to a new team, to a new league. Obviously leaving something behind where you had a very successful tenure. I want to educate listeners here on Winter Day Hockey O'Clock about the German Hockey League 2, as it is the first time that we're really having someone with in-depth knowledge of the German Hockey League, or the Penny DEL, as it's officially called here this season, on the show. But let's maybe just start with you making up your mind and starting to think about what it would be to move on to a quote-unquote bigger league. I guess there is no shame in admitting that the German Hockey League is above the Winter Day Ice Hockey League. Some of our top teams, of course, can compete with other teams in the German Hockey League, but on average, the teams are just a little better, a little, or sometimes even more loaded than ours. The level of play is incredible. But not to get too far ahead of ourselves, at what point did you get an offer that you eventually couldn't refuse?
Well, it's always hard to leave a situation where you feel comfortable and it feels like family and it feels like home in Innsbruck. We were there for 6 years, and that's an incredibly long time in this business. And my daughter grew up there for the majority of 2/3 of her life, and my son was born there. And we have a lot of good friends and great memories there. So it was not an easy decision. It was an emotional decision to decide to move on. But at the end of the day, this is a business, and Nuremberg was a great situation with a good culture and a lot of good foundation to build something. And I had a really good connection with Ustorf. Stefan Ustorf, the general manager, who believed in me that I would be the right fit. And it was just an opportunity I couldn't refuse for my growth at 40 years old. To be a head coach in the DEL, it's a great stepping stone for my career, I believe, and it's a great opportunity. And I liked the way we gelled. We thought the game the same way. We believed in the same process and the same cultures within a group. And it was a hard decision, but I knew deep down it was the right decision. And it's always a place, Innsbruck, we can always go back to visit and see friends and family there. Well, family I call, but close friends. But I'm happy with my decision. And it's been a transition, but I deeply down really do know it was the right decision.
We'll touch on your time in Innsbruck in a bit, but what I'm always interested in is when the quote-unquote silly season starts, when contract offers and contract talks usually commencing. And I know a lot of people aren't 100% comfortable talking about time frames and when things are happening, but I remember that at the start of the year, rumors were circling around that you were on Nuremberg's radar, and eventually they were able to close in on the deal and get you. When was the, or around what time was the initial first talk of getting things started and where things could be headed?
I think it starts kind of in the summertime. I talked to my agent and I said, okay, it's a contract year now. What kind of opportunities could we create or come our way? And I told him I would love to make it to the NLA or the DEL in any type of facet. And I think that would be a good step for me. And it all depends on how you're doing as well. And we were able to do well in the Champions League that year and kind of build a platform and showcase what we've been able to build in Innsbruck and making our way to the semifinal, well, to the playoff round. We just started made some calls and got some interest and put some feelers out there. And I met with Usti in Augsburg, I believe, in November at some point, and we started communicating then. But these checks, they just take time, and it's a process, and offers and background checks and my homework as well in the club. And these things just take a bit of time. But I can't remember the date we finalized it, because Innsbruck was still very interested in keeping me. But then there's other teams as well that I interviewed with. But Nuremberg to me was the right decision from day one. And it was the best opportunity for me.
You telling people right here that you did quite well in the Champions Hockey League is probably the understatement of the year, or at the very least of the season that I'm having right now. You were the only Austrian Champions Hockey League team last year that made it to the knockout stage. And if we're looking at budgets from the other competing clubs, Innsbruck by far had the lowest. And that one game that really put you on Europe's radar was beating the reigning Swiss champion Geneva in Innsbruck. I watched the game and I still can't fathom how you pulled that one out. I guess from the top of my head, shots on goal were, 15 to 49? You won it by 5-2, if I'm not mistaken. You might want to correct me on that. But was there kind of a ripple effect that the game had on you and your club's trajectory and your career's trajectory that it really indeed put you and the style you're coaching on the radar in Europe?
I guess at the end of the day, it was definitely a historic win for that club. Probably the biggest one in its history. But the way that game kind of panned out, it couldn't have worked out any better for us. They scored two, I think, in the first 2 minutes of the game. I think they started to take their foot off the gas and thought, okay, an easy night. And then we hung around and capitalized on our chances. And it was amazing to see. I used that film throughout the year to show how we needed to defend to have success. And we did it in the third game of the season, preseason. And I kept going back to that game to build our guys' confidence throughout the year. But yeah, no, that was definitely one for my memory bank I'll hold on for a long time. That's for sure.
It was an up and down season in Innsbruck, as was probably overdue. Innsbruck and Nuremberg, it seems as if there are a lot of parallels between the clubs, both of them maybe in the bottom third of the respective leagues in terms of budgets and possibilities, but still cities with rich hockey culture. And if the thing, as in hockey, is really rolling, the rinks full, the atmosphere is tremendous. And when I kind of prepared for this conversation, I was asking myself the question, is that indeed the case? Is that a fair assessment that there are a lot of parallels between Innsbruck and Nuremberg?
Yeah, there definitely is a lot of similarities budget-wise in where they should be in the standings. And I think that was one of the reasons why I was taken on here for what I was able to do with my staff in Innsbruck to try and implement it here as well. And no, I think it's, at the end of the day, a budget is a budget. And I think Usti and I have the same mindset. Money doesn't just buy you wins, it's culture and it's attitude and it's the players and the process of it all. And I think when you have something like that with a good group, anything's possible. And I see that with this group as well here. We've been nipping at the heels of the top six, and I know we're all a bit disappointed, even though we're probably where we should be. But leaving points on the table should leave a sour taste in your mouth, and you should always want more. But no, I think there's, like you said, there is a lot of similarities, and I think that's one reason why it was such a good opportunity to take this job.
Well, let me take you back to the first couple of instances where you talked to Stefan Ustorf. He's probably Mr. Nuremberg Hockey, the GM. He's been around for quite some time. He's helped build the program and keep it stable. And Nuremberg went to an interesting or through an interesting time after they lost their main sponsor with Thomas Sabo. So it's no gimme that there is professional and successful hockey in Nuremberg. But when you started, as you labeled it, doing your homework on the organization and the team, how did that look like? What was the starting point of your research?
I looked at the roster first. I looked at their national players to see who they had and what they had coming up. And I watched some games as well and followed them as the season went through last season. And they had a lot of guys that just didn't quit. They just worked on second, third, fourth efforts even. I know they lost a big couple pieces of that due to the budget to other teams in the team, like happened to Innsbruck all the time as well. But it gives other guys opportunities. And it was nice to have a really good fresh start with Usti, and I have trust in what he's been able to build here and to bring in the right pieces. And it's been a pleasure to work with him, and it's been really fitting.
What you've also mentioned is that you and Stefan Ustorf share the same belief or beliefs in culture within a group. And I don't want to get too cliche here or try to un or de-cliche it, but when it comes to culture in a group of men that are supposed to play successful hockey, what is it you're looking for?
Professionalism, hard work, relentlessness when it comes to being in a battle. Just having an atmosphere in the room where you're there to work. We're here to compete, and we have good people. And when you have good people with good characters, with that type of feeling, you have an endless ceiling. You can always reach something, and you create that belief. And if you start getting that belief in the players, anything's possible.
The one thing that really raised my eyebrows, and I guess a lot of people within the Winter Day Ice Hockey League, is when you had to deal with disciplinary measures to the then reigning most valuable player of the Winter Day Ice Hockey League with Brady Shaw last December. He was taken away from the team. Obviously, I don't want to get into too much detail, but something that flared up, and you and the team basically showed a no-nonsense policy, cut ties with, again, the reigning MVP. And I talked to a lot of people, and we all came away saying it takes a lot of guts to do that. And I've talked to certain members of the team back then, and obviously something that not a lot of coaches would do just for the sake of trying to still have success, but sometimes you're better off just cutting ties, which you did. Looking back on the time the club had to go through then and all the things that came from it, how do you look back now on that interesting time in your coaching career, and how it shaped you and decision processes going forward?
I think it wasn't an easy time for the club at all. We were put in a tight spot, and we had to stick to what we believed and what was right and pull the trigger on that. And at the end of the day, I think it would have went either way. It could have went south really quick, or it was going to go north really quick. We were able to rally around it and win. I can't remember how many games in a row. We got hot there for a little while. I think we were 8-2, I think, the next 10 games. And it kind of just built from there. And, you know, and the one thing I always, you go through adversity as a group, you either get worse from it or you get stronger from it. And I think that adversity helped us get a little bit stronger. And no, I think it wasn't just my decision. It was a club decision as well. And that's, sometimes you just got to do those hard things. And I think it made us stronger in the end.
Now, the season last year ended a little earlier than you and the club would have wanted. You were ousted in the pre-playoffs, or in the first round of the playoffs, as in Germany would call it. They would call it. So you had some time to regroup and obviously clean up your office and prepare for the new job. How was the last day in the office in Innsbruck? Just taking into account or considering that you left as the most successful head coach for the quote-unquote new Innsbruck program after they joined the league again, that you were more successful than Rob Pauleen, who brought a lot of success to the Innsbruck program too. How was it leaving the record and obviously the memories behind?
Well, it was bittersweet for sure. I didn't want to end the way it did. I think we were the one game in BLAP, we lost 1-0. If we won that game, we would have been in the top six and in the playoffs again. And I think we never recovered from that. And that was hard for me to swallow, that I wasn't able to get the guys back on board from that loss. And that one stung. But looking back at everything overall, it was bittersweet. It was a ton of great memories and the people and friends we'd made there. But again, you're moving on to something you've always wanted and the opportunity to continue to grow your career and build. So, but it was hard to clean the locker room out, give my assistant Florian a hug goodbye. We will always be close friends and we still talk to each other very much day to day. So it's, but at the end of the day, it is what it is. And like I said earlier, it was the right decision. It was time to go move on. I don't know what else we could have done there with the resources we had. And no, I'm really excited with where I'm at right now and looking forward to trying to do the same thing I did there here.
I promise we'll get to the Penny DL in a bit, but I just got a couple more questions on your
no worries.
Innsbruck tenure and obviously you as a family man. You said you told your agent to maybe look at offers from German Hockey League teams, from teams from the Swiss National League. And now knowing that you are a family man first and foremost, that your children had just grown up or spent most of their time on planet Earth in German-speaking realms, was it ever of importance to get back or be located in a German-speaking territory? Or would you, for example, have taken, just like your good friend and good friend of the show too, Greg Ireland, went to Ajoa the other day. Mm-hmm. Would French or other languages have been in consideration too?
Yeah, French would also have been a great spot for us to be. My daughter was born in France. Quebec is very close to where we live as well. And where we live in Canada and Ottawa, English and French speaking. So that was definitely another spot, but it's always about the kids and the family first for me and where we can be set up comfortably and they can thrive and be a part of the community. Is you have to dive right in if you're going to be a part of something. I'm a big believer in that, and your kids and family are a big part of that too, and they have to have those experiences, and you want to give them those experiences. It's not always just about hockey. It's about everybody that makes that sacrifice for my career and supporting the family. So I want to always make sure they're taken care of.
When you get to the language part, I mean, obviously you're moving from one city where you don't necessarily need German, Innsbruck, to another city where you don't necessarily need to be fluent in German in Nuremberg, as both are considered quote unquote world cities. How's your German coming along?
That's still not great. I'm pretty embarrassed about it. No, Innsbruck was such an English-speaking place because of all the tourism, so it was an excuse. But now I have to start diving into it now. It's been I've been holding it off too long, so it's on the to-do list. It's number one, that's for sure.
Just wait for the Christmas market starting in Nuremberg, and you'll find out how international this place will be getting.
Yeah, we'll see.
I have to preface this a little bit because a couple years ago, I did a Winter Day Hockey O'Clock on tour in Innsbruck, and I was lucky enough to have you on the podium. And after the event, I got a ride from you from the arena to the main station. And when I got into the car, I noticed in the backseat there were like a couple pairs of skis, and you told me about you being an avid skier and that you're trying to spend every minute that you're not spending on hockey or on the family on the slope. And yeah, granted, there are not a lot of better places to do that than Innsbruck. How has that transition been, and how has that settled in that you're not as close to skiing slopes anymore as you were in Innsbruck?
Yeah, I'm still trying to swallow that pill. To be honest, I fell in love with it in Innsbruck. It was so easy to. And it was something that you could just get away from everything and clear your head. So I'm going to have to find another hobby that lets me unplug and just enjoy the outdoors. So we're working on finding that next one.
You know, cross-country skiing is pretty big or biathlon is pretty big in German realm. So you okay. Should be having opportunities around Nuremberg to go follow up on that one.
Nice. My wife will be pumped about that.
Okay. Just please don't tell her that I was the one mentioning it to you.
Sounds good.
Coach, we're sitting at a point of the season where basically a third of the game in the regular season has been played. 16 games for Nuremberg so far, 21 points that you got out of it. You're ninth in the standings, pretty much where most of the expert analysts and pundits following the league were projecting Nuremberg to be. What's your kind of summary? What's the way you look back on the first 16 games played from your club so far?
I think we've played some really good hockey and didn't get the results. We deserved a few games. But I think this league is extremely tight. Everyone is good. Everyone can win. Everyone has lethal weapons to use. The structure is a lot more detailed, which has been really good for me to continue to grow as a coach. I feel like we've done a good job with our team and what we want to do and how we want to play and how we want to compete. And I think we've been very consistent for the most part. But also, you always want a little bit more and expect a bit more. That's part of the job. And I think analytically, I think we've been in the top four for expected goals for and goals against combined, which means we're doing something right. We're just not getting all the results we need. But I think it's a good start for where we were at with the new group, new players, new staff. And it's something to build on. I think we could think positive about it because we all want a little bit more and keep that hunger and strive for the next step, next part of the season.
I want to build this up from scratch for all the mostly Austrian listeners that are listening to this. Obviously, a lot of German fans that have grown accustomed to the Winter Day Hockey O'Clock podcast too, as there is usually once or twice per season a guest from, or someone guesting from DEL hockey clubs too. Once you put your signature on the contract that you were given, what was the kind of starting point? How did it look like when you started wrapping your head around your new reality that was called Penny DEL?
I had to start watching some games. I had to start learning the league and watching the style of play of different teams. And it was just watching a lot of hockey. And that's something I enjoyed anyway. So it was it was fun to start that way, try something new. But I watched a lot of our games from last year down the stretch where they were really one of the best teams in the league. They had incredible goaltending in Turtle, which he's unfortunately been injured so far this year. But Leon stepped up in big ways as well. But I think it's been just a process day by day of learning the league and knowing the players and getting to know the players. I phoned everybody, every player throughout the summer to keep in touch with them, start building those relationships. I believe players want to be playing for a coach that is personal these days. It's not how it used to be. So I wanted to start working on those relationships right away. And getting to know the guys and getting to know what makes them tick. What's their goals? What's their way of development? How do they like to be coached? How can we get the most out of them? So those are things that you can start before even touching the ice. So we did that over the phone, then started to find our staff as well. And that was a bit of a process. And I relied on Usti a lot for that to make those decisions. And I couldn't be happier with the ones he made. Chris was the GM and goalie coach in Vienna a while back. He has been in Ingolstadt for the last couple of years, knows the league, knows everyone around the league. So he's helped me learn. Jochen Hecht is a legend over here with an incredible hockey career and starting his coaching career. His knowledge of the game is top notch and he's helped me a lot as well. So I've been fortunate enough to be surrounded with good people, but even with great hockey minds in the league. So it's been really great.
I'll get to the team building process and how everything started to gel in Nuremberg in a bit. But when you started dissecting the league, having a look at other clubs, and I guess you started right around the playoff time in the Penny DL, which saw some incredible playoff games, incredibly tight series, and a final between Bremerhaven and Berlin. What were some of the maybe takeaways on future opponents that you put in your notebook?
Incredibly big, incredibly fast, incredibly skilled. They play well, structured, organized hockey, and it's a game of mistakes. When you play those big teams, you got to limit your mistakes as much as possible because they have the transition, they have the skill to capitalize. So it's been great to watch, great to learn from that. But no, they're very competitive teams in this league that you have. If you're sleeping at all, they're going to take advantage of you. And you need everyone on board for those games to have a chance.
What I was always wondering about when someone moves on to bigger league, what kind of access you're getting to quote unquote better players. Because, and I have to preface this, especially for German listeners, when you were head coach of Innsbruck, it was basically not guaranteed, as there's never a guarantee in sports, but you could assume more often than not that Innsbruck's imports were really good. And of course, you had a talented general manager with Max Steinacher, whom you were working closely with. But now move into Nuremberg. And even though the budget is relatively small when compared to other powerhouses in the German Hockey League, it definitely should be bigger than the one in Innsbruck. What kind of access does money give you? What different players or maybe leagues that you're scouting and where you're fishing for import players are now on the radar with the German Hockey League that weren't maybe with the Winter Day Ice Hockey League team?
Well, that's another reason why I took this job. I could just focus on coaching. I didn't have to do recruiting anymore. I know that was one of my strengths in Innsbruck, but Neustarf's got a very good history of doing that at this level. And I have full trust in him. He's has done a great job and has put some great people in that room for me to work with and surround me with good people as well. But he manages all that, and he's actually leaving tomorrow to go on a scouting trip in the AHL to catch a bunch of games. In the Ice League, I would recruit from the East Coast League mostly, up and down guys. And at this level, he's able to get those up and down guys from the NHL at times. Maybe they're a bit out of our budget, but he's able to find those bubble guys that can contribute. He knows the league well, and he knows what it needs to compete at this level. It is quite the jump from the East Coast to the DEL. I think that takes some time for guys to get accumulated to that. You look at Evan Barrett we have here now. He didn't have the year he expected last year, but now this year he knows the league. He prepared for it. He's been given a better opportunity, and he's flourishing. And same with Cole Meyer. He's the same. He's 30 points in the AHL and only 9 goals last year. I think he already has 7 or 8. So these guys, they get to know the league. It's just like coming over to Europe for any league. It takes time to adjust, to get used to your surroundings, and then your confidence grows.
That's an interesting topic that you just mentioned, and maybe we'll sidestep the conversation about the German Hockey League a little bit by just talking about the influx of talent from the East Coast Hockey League that a lot of teams and leagues have seen, and the Nuremberg Ice Tigers are no exception to players who are coming directly from the East Coast Hockey League to German Hockey League. And of course, there's a transition. We're talking about the surface being bigger, new country, new language, and everything that goes into it. But from your experiences, and you're having many years of that now, and obviously you played as a pro yourself, and granted there is no rule of thumb, but what are areas that transition needs? I'd label them from the East Coast Hockey League to European pro hockey leagues struggle more often with than not.
I'm going to use Gordy Green as an example. We had last year, and incredibly talented player. Speed,
incredibly fast skater.
Fast, his work ethic, plays bigger than he is. But he really didn't hit the ground running for the first few months. And I think it was just the way he played on a smaller rink. He had to be explosive right when he got the puck. And then the guy found and said, I just have so much space here. I'm not moving enough. And he had to be patient. They figure it out. Because when you move your feet, you change your picture in front of you all the time. And once he started doing that more and using his speed and having that attack mindset, he was one of the best players we had for the rest of the season. And you saw it in Champions League as well. He just contributed to us and for us in so many ways. So I think this just takes time for the big ice, the style of play, how it's more of a possession game, not dump and chase like it is on the smaller rink. And I think once they kind of get used to that, it just helps. It just flows a little bit better. Their confidence goes up. And again, some guys might never have been over to Europe. They're not sure what it's going to be like. And the culture shock for some guys. So it's just some guys, everyone's different. It just takes time.
It's interesting that you're mentioning Gordie Green, who was a point per game scorer eventually last year for Innsbruck. He's a point per game scorer now in Slovakia with Dukla Trenčín. And if you're looking at a talent like this, who maybe isn't able to put it all together from the start, is there ever a point, maybe in practice or during a game, where you go like with your keen eye of an observer, okay, now he's got it. Now he's playing up to his full potential.
I think there is a time where you see a switch. It just comes naturally. But when you know they're struggling a little bit, you could see it in the way that the body language tells everything. And when you could tell they're not happy with themselves, they're just not, especially with their mood. And it's such an easy tell. But there is a point when you watch some film with them, you try and break things down, but it has to come from them more than anything. And once you see that click, there's more energy, there's more jump, there's more fun, there's more smiles, you know what I mean? And then they know they're having fun, and hockey should be fun. It's, you're only as good as you feel, right? So once you see that, you know you got them going.
You and your team, you were having fun early in the season. You went on a 3-game win streak in September. After that, on a 5-game losing streak. You mentioned the ups and downs. You mentioned that analytically, you have to fare better than the standings as of right now probably are saying. Especially once that jumps out, and you as a former goaltender, you can't be happy with the 58 goals conceded. That's tied for worst together with Wolfsburg and Düsseldorf, granted the fact that I think Düsseldorf has a game fewer than you and Wolfsburg do. But how much of a focus is the defense, working on the defense and maybe bringing in some more help along the lines in the defense to get that stat where you as a former goaltender wanted to be?
Yeah, there's always look at things in 5-game segments, and we started out really well and things were going, clicking. And then I think more mentally with our group, we got a little too high, and then we got grounded really quickly when we played Mannheim, Berlin, and Fishtown all in the same week. And I think we lost that one game at home 9-0. So there's one reason why the numbers are so high on that edge with that one game alone. But, that's the thing. Like I said, peaks and valleys. And that stretch, we were playing and working really hard and not getting the results during that time, other than the one game. But then we stuck to it. We stuck with it. We were able to turn the tide and get back to winning ways and win another 3 in a row. But you do have to look at those games. All right, where are we leaking oil the most? Where are our biggest issues? How do we fix this? How do we plug the hole? And we realized with that, our D zone, we wanted to be more zoned. We were running around a bit too much, and we weren't blocking enough shots. There was too many shots getting through. And that was one thing that always gave us success in Innsbruck. We had guys that would just eat pucks automatically. And that's one thing we needed to fix. And now I think since then, I think last couple games before, we had 20 block shots one game. And then it's been helping us stay in games more, be tighter and winning lower scoring games. So it's been one situation that we tried to fix.
Now, you moved on to a bigger league. There's 14 teams in the German Hockey League. And as of right now, you played every team in the league at the very least once. If someone who doesn't have a clue about the German Hockey League, and you just might look at me, asks you about the one thing that stands out, or the one thing that first comes to mind when talking about another team, or the first team that maybe comes to mind, what would that be and why?
What do you mean? Like what team comes to mind that
for better or worse, a team that stands out, a team that has caught your eye, an opponent that has played you tougher than others, that has got a more impressive rink than others. Whatever comes to mind first.
I see. Well, I would say Berlin was one club that I was pretty impressed by. The arena was really nice. It was full, 15,000 people, incredible fans, and they have a big budget. They have a deep roster. I was impressed with that. But I think the fans all over this league have been very impressive. I think they have one of the biggest followings in all of Europe, so it's been a lot of fun to be in all these different rinks. Especially at ours, our last home game, I think it was full of 7,000. It was a lot of fun having that. It's been great, and we love having that support.
The schedule has played an interesting role in your season so far. I mentioned that you played every team at the very least once, but you played Straubing 3 times already, still being head coach by Tom Pokel, obviously well known in our league. To actually many, many connections between the German Hockey League and the Winter Day Ice Hockey League that kind of considers itself as a stepstone league anyways, with Serge Lambert still running the show very successfully in Berlin, with Mike Stewart maybe struggling a little more than he wants to in Wolfsburg right now, with Tom Pokel always finding success in Straubing. How was it to play Straubing, I think, twice last week anyways, and 3 times already this year?
Yeah, it's a big rivalry, right? It's a derby game for sure, it feels like. And I think it's been exciting on the fact that we were able to pull points out in their rank last game, but then it was tough to come back. Maybe we were a little complacent thinking it'd be easy, but that's just one hurdle we need to find as a group with the mental side of the game we need to fix. But it's been nice to have those little derbies and new derbies for me, especially another challenge and a new challenge. It's been exciting.
The one interesting personnel fact with the Nuremberg Ice Tigers is, of course, your assistant coach. It's Jochen Hecht. He's a legend in Germany. He did so much for German hockey and putting it on the radar internationally on the NHL level too. I mean, he was a captain for the Buffalo Sabres, for God's sake. So that probably says everything about the man you need to know. How is it working with him?
Oh, it's great. It's awesome. We have a lot of fun. It's the same type of process we had in Innsbruck with Nino and myself. We bounce ideas off each other. I always ask him how he feels about this. I don't like running things my way. I always lean on my assistants and staff a lot for their opinions. You know, we get strength by numbers, not by an individual. So with a guy like his knowledge and his reputation, how do you not use that asset every day and focus on that? And no, he's helped me a ton with the transition to the league and with system, and he runs our PK and he's doing a fantastic job with that. And he takes a lot of pride in his work, and he's very organized, and it's been great.
How were you able to nab him? Was it all Stefan Ustorf, or did you have a hand or maybe a finger in this decision too?
No, it was Usti's decision to pull in Yolks, and I was really thrilled when I heard that they were working it out. And when I got on the phone with Jochen, he said, well, it's summertime, so I didn't want to bother him too much. And I think he was on an island somewhere with his girlfriend, so I didn't want to bug him. But no, I think we hit it off right away, and it's been solid. And I think he's been happy to be here because he's contributing so well, and he's making it home.
Obviously, spent a year away from the sport, but he, of course, knows the German Hockey League inside out, and German hockey for that matter. What was maybe a lesson that he taught you, or something that he said to you early in your time trying to get a feel for the league that still helps you to this day? Was there one?
Well, he knows this league like the back of his hand. He knows the players. He knows their strengths, their weaknesses. So every time we're doing pre-scouts, like, we got to do this, we got to do that on this situation, and I'm all ears. I'm going to listen all day to that. And he's very good at what he does. And, no, I'm very thankful to have him.
obviously, I don't want to talk about the result, but I just want to talk about the feeling of being in that new arena that had its grand opening in late September with Red Bull Munich playing the Buffalo Sabres and the SAP Garden really starting operations. How was it in that arena for you? Did it stand out in any way as one of the premier arenas in Europe as it's supposed to be, or was it just any other rink for you?
It's pretty incredible rink. There's no doubt about that. It's nice and it's got all the bells and whistles for sure, but I'm more focused on the game than the surroundings. I could hear our fans there, that's for sure. I think half the building was our fans, so that was incredible. But I think they've done a fantastic job with the building, and hopefully they can fill it up.
Now that you've developed the feel, now that you've played each team at least once, what game, what opponent, or maybe what rink are you most looking forward to playing again, and why?
Hard to say, really, because I kind of just focus on the games that I've enjoyed is when we did the right things and we played the right way. I always enjoy playing at home. It is a fun rink to play in. It's nice to be a little comfortable in your office and being able to watch the video the way you want to look things, and you hit the ground running that way. But about the opponents, to me, it doesn't really matter. I just enjoy being at a level where every game's competitive. I don't really have a favorite. Everybody's competitive. Every game's a challenge, and that's what's exciting for me.
Now, to round out this conversation, and that's something that I'm always wondering with or about when I'm talking to different people, executive players, it's the definition and the constitution of success. And I hate getting back to the budget that's probably not as big as Berlin's budget or Mannheim's budget or Cologne's budget. But taking into account that you're a smaller club within the German Hockey League, what constitutes success for you with the Nuremberg Hockey Club? What constitutes success for the organization?
I think to get success is you need to get in playoffs. I think when you're in the dance, it means you did something right. That's the goal here for us, to get in that dance and make a splash too, just not get there. So it doesn't matter how you get in, you got to get in. And that's everybody's goal, right? So for us, that's it. We want to get in the playoffs. We want to see what we can do on that stage. And it's been fun to try and create that start here. And I think we're going in the right way. I strongly believe that. We've been missing some big pieces. McKenna's one of our imports that can shoot the puck like a cannon. So hopefully we'll get him back soon after the break. And Turtle as well. It's been a lot for Leon to play every single game. Being a goalie, an ex-goalie myself, I know that's a lot mentally. So it'd be nice to get the load off a little bit and share that and have that competition again between the goalies. And our decor, I have a lot of strength in that. I think that's one of our strengths is our decor. So I'm excited to get going again. Kind of upset there is a break now, thinking about it.
Promise me one thing. Once you reach that final dance, promise to be back on Winter Day Hockey Clock.
For sure. Sounds good.
I know time constraints will be bigger than they are right now. Glad I was able to catch you during the first international break. Really pulling my thumbs for you and hope that you are reaching the goals that you set now that you moved on to a bigger league. Always a pleasure talking to you. Always great to learn from you, and looking forward to having more conversations about hockey with you. Thanks so much for doing this.
My pleasure, Martin.
Win today Hockey O'Clock.
Kurz durchatmen bei diesem Wahnsinn. Und das ging rasend schnell. Der Traum vom Finale ist erfüllt. Mittendrin statt nur dabei.
Fans, stimmungsvoll und hoffnungsfroh.
Nice move, another nice move.